created us?
Why what?
Why do you think he created us?
Who's he?
God.
God. Why did God create us? What do you think? Why do you think?
I don't
know the answers. Anybody want to?
Maybe our evolution was to create.
Okay, maybe. But there's another, I think, appropriate answer. Why do you think God created us? I mean, there's an answer in the scriptures too, but yes.
No, I heard when Satan fell from his rank, God wanted to create somebody to fill his rank, and man was the one that was created to fill the rank of Satan.
Okay. That's good. Had your hand up?
I'm sorry. That's the case then.
We weren't in his mind beforehand, yeah. He said, "Oh, oops, now I need to do something else." Yeah. We were in God's mind from the beginning of time as an idea, materialized at a point in time. An idea from the beginning of time. This is what Pope Shenouda said. Okay? And then in a point in time, in the fikra, that it materialized into creation. The reason why, and I'll refer back to one of our church fathers, St. John Chrysostom, and St. Cyril of Alexandria. He said that God created us simply because he loved us. Simply. And love, he loved us and he wanted to love us into existence. He loved us so much that he gave us that gift of existence that he himself had within himself. And he wanted to share that love with us. Not so much because he needed to share this love with us. As we say in the Gregorian liturgy, he does not need our servitude, but we need his lordship. He doesn't need us, we need him. So he created us because he loves us, and he wanted to share his existence with us, our existence with his. Okay. Yes?
Okay. So if God loves us, and he created us because he loves us, then why is there so much struggle and evil in the world?
Yeah, I was all day back. Why
can
is
you
this?
Try to sum it up in like a couple sentences?
Why is there so much evil and struggle in this world?
If he so loved us, why would he want to see us struggle and in pain? For like, what's the purpose?
Yeah.
Why did he take us to the eternal life?
Right away. Yeah, because God doesn't like to deal with robots. If he loves us, let me be methodical about this. Love is the supreme ethic, right? Now, love implies the existence of what? Free will. Because if I love my wife, I expect her to freely love me back. If I force her or compel her to love me back, then I don't really love her. Okay? So love, as a supreme ethic, implies the existence of freedom to reciprocate this love. So we establish two truths. Love is a supreme ethic. Love implies the freedom to love back. Freedom implies the existence of choice to choose from, or else freedom is meaningless without a choice. If I am free, but I have no choice to choose, then I'm no longer free. Hence, the existence of choice, eat, don't eat, if you eat, you will die, if you don't eat, you will die. God is not trying to play games with us. God is basically saying, I'm going to give you a choice that you can, for you to be able to reciprocate the love that I have for you, so that I can know that you love me. Like, I use this choice to my detriment, and I fell. I told God, I don't love you back. I wanna be my own God and whatever, and the fall of Adam and Eve. And if I look at this and say, well, why did you allow this, God? If you know we're going to fall, and if we know we're going to suffer, why are you allowing this to happen? That's looking at the glass half empty. Let's look at the glass half full. Well, God gave us an out. He said, yes, you fell, but I also gave you the solution with the problem. The solution is me coming again, crucified, one second, crucified, resurrected, so that I can give you that which you lost in paradise, and then some. So when we die and go to heaven with Christ, we will be in a much better state than when Adam and Eve were in paradise. So when we say, why is there so much evil in the world? Yani, I can answer this question philosophically, like we said, but I think you're not looking for anyone. If you're suffering inside, you're not going to be satisfied with God loved us, He gave us free will, we chose this and we chose that. That's not going to satisfy you. What's going to satisfy you is more of an emotional, psychological, existential answer to the question. See that? Am I right? And that comes with the person who suffers the most for you and for me, who is Christ. So, why is there so much evil in this world? I think the very short and quick answer is that there is freedom, and that freedom is given to you and I because God loves us. And we have abused this freedom to our detriment, and God did not leave us, but He came and gave us a solution, provided the solution. Now it's up to us to cling on this solution or to live with this solution or say, you know, I don't believe you anymore because you have allowed all this evil in this world. God made evil possible. Man made evil actual. Okay? God made evil possible simply because He allowed for freedom. But we have abused this gift of freedom and made evil actual, not only possible. We can also say God created the fact of freedom. Man created the act of freedom. You see? God created the fact of freedom. Man created within himself the act of freedom. In other words, he took that freedom and misused or abused it to his own or her own detriment. I think I may have mentioned it to you. I think it was also in Calgary. And I think for 3 days, I think we had 6 lectures on the problem of evil and suffering. So, and forgive me if I'm not giving you a comprehensive answer, but it's a vast subject that maybe we can have a conference on just the problem of evil and suffering in this world and see how we can look at it philosophically and also, more importantly, existentially or emotionally.
That means a very good answer.
Yeah?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Yes, sorry, one second. Go ahead. Then, what do you mean? Say that again. Raise your voice. God created the devil with a choice?
To give us more
choice. I don't know. True. I really don't know, to be honest with you.
He created,
exactly. And God created an angel and he became a devil.
By
his own choice. God knew everything. So he knew he was going to be a devil. He knew that Adam will fall. He knew everything.
But he didn't create something evil.
Very good. Good point. God did that. Good point. Excellent. So, okay? Oh, okay. Gotcha. God did not create the devil. As I would have mentioned, he did not create evil. He created good. And evil came as a what? Absence of that good. Maybe we can talk about the problem of evil and suffering. What are we going to talk about Sunday? We're going to talk about 5 topics and 5 lectures on Sunday. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Mia. Mia, then Mia.
I was going to ask if you were going to have a session on pain and suffering. Just because of what you mentioned, there's a choice, so that's why. But then there are another hand example that you mentioned yesterday of the 5 people who fight a cancer. That's not a choice. So suffering is one thing and pain is different, or the repercussions of our choices is different from certain suffering that especially young people go through.
Yes.
So if we have a whole session, we can do that.
Sure. We can maybe move that into our next lecture. That's okay. Someone said, I think it was the German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, he said, to live is to suffer. To survive is to find meaning in suffering. To live is to suffer. Who can live without suffering? Give me one person who actually lives without suffering. None. To live is to suffer. To survive, not just to live, to survive is to find meaning in suffering. Now, the point we must address or aspire to understand, do we have meaning in suffering? Only then will we be able to survive and come to terms with the pain and suffering in this world, to find meaning. Is there meaning in suffering, or is it? There is one philosophy, I don't want to call it a religion, one philosophy that came as a result of suffering, wanted to answer the question of suffering, Buddhism. If you study the religion or the philosophy of Buddhism, anybody are familiar with Buddhism at all?
You think it's interesting.
It is very interesting. Yeah, the Buddha himself started his movement of Buddhistic thoughts and as a result of the suffering that he saw in this world. He wanted to eradicate suffering. And there's a lot to be said about Buddhism and suffering and how Christianity views suffering versus Buddhism versus other religions. But anyways, we can talk about that, as you said, in a little bit. Other questions? Yes?
Why did God wipe out the tree before he created us? So the external world is an inexistent
way to
fall into the tree.
Why didn't God wipe out the tree?
Like, erase it.
Erase it from existence.
Or having Adam Eve exist.
Right. Because just as I mentioned earlier, love implies freedom. Freedom implies a choice.
But it wouldn't be free will if it never existed. Like, they wouldn't have had the choice of eating if it didn't exist.
If they didn't have the choice, then they wouldn't be
free. But if it didn't free. Exist, they wouldn't have been a question of choice.
But there must have been a question of choice. There must have been a choice for them to be truly free. If I tell you, you gotta be home at 9 o'clock, you have a choice? Are you free? No. How? Who said yes? What is that? Somebody said yes. I wanna hear this. If you have to be home by 9 o'clock, are you free? Oh, well, yeah, but then you'll suffer the consequences. Huh? It doesn't matter. External factors don't matter in this case. But you have to be, you must be, I'm telling you, if you're not home at 9 o'clock, there will be consequences. Are you free? I'm saying, are you free? Of course not. But if I tell you come home whenever, then you have a choice to be, if I tell you it's nice for you to be home at 9, it's okay if you're home by 11, then you're free. See, you can be home by 9 or 11. Because you have a, yeah, maybe this is a bad example, bad analogy. But but God wanted to give us a choice so that we can exercise our freedom, and we have that freedom as a symbol of His love to us.
What I'm saying is that if Adam didn't know about the tree, existing was not the
way. There's no point for the tree. No, you said there's no point.
Not
to
the exact meaning of the tree, the tree doesn't exist. The tree wasn't conscious of that. It was just that meaning. It was the, in their perspective, the world.
But I think we're repeating what we're saying. Why would God take the tree away if He is the one who planted it for a reason in the first place? I mean, He didn't just say, oh, you know what, let me just take this. Well, He had, in His mind, He knew what He was doing all along. He planted this tree for a reason, knowing that Adam and Eve will be given a test or a choice, and they will fall in that test, and then He will come again and give them a solution. So everything has been pre-planned. Why would God, in the middle of all this pre-planned, say, oh, wait a minute, let me just take this tree out? So Adam and Eve wouldn't know about the tree, they wouldn't eat, they wouldn't fall. You see? He doesn't think, again, oops, I made a mistake, let me go back. It's all been pre-planned, foreordained. Yes?
Does prayer change the will of God?
Will get that?
Does prayer change the will of God?
Yeah.
We had a 2-hour discussion.
It's a 2-hour discussion, and try not to make it a 2-hour discussion. No. Prayer does not change the will of God. The short answer is no. Why? Simply because of the word change. When you say change, you imply, again, going back to how God is and how we are, how God thinks and how we think. When you say, the moment you say change, you're implying what?
Time.
From this to that. God doesn't have it from this to that. Okay? Prayer changes our will, not so much God's will. But here's what we can see. We have a lens to the events that take place, one lens, and God has a different lens. Let's say two different cameras pointing to the events that take place. Our camera, our lens, is seeing things that go over time, whereas God's lens is seeing things that just have already happened. When I pray, I am not so much changing His will. God knew beforehand what I will pray about, how hard and how repentful and all of these things. And based on what I have done, He had already, you know, made the necessary sovereign arrangements of my life. You see what I'm saying?
So because he see everything, and He knows the past, present, and future, He knows that at this time I'll be in trouble and I will pray, that's why He's going to give me this. So He planned
this? Yes. But this thought is, there's a lot more to be said, because this may actually discourage us from prayer.
Yeah, this is the point.
Yeah. What prayer does more for me than it does for God. Let's put it this way. It actually aligns my will with God's will. And that's what prayer, the supreme benefit of prayer. Aligns my will to God's will. Is there any more to be said? That's the short answer to the question. Yes, sir. One last question, and then Peter keeps telling me. One last question.
No, I just heard an argument. I don't know if you heard that point at all. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I've heard that it was created for a purpose, that God didn't just create it as a test, but that of evil to possibly eat from it at a specific point in time. That wasn't quite, like, they weren't mature enough to eat from the tree of knowledge. I heard that from a beast or a teacher in seminary, but I don't know what sources.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's something.
Here's what I have learned from the church. Yeah. So the.
What's your name?
Michael is saying that the tree of. Why am I excusing this? Double the pleasure. Michael is saying that the tree of knowledge of good and evil is created for Adam and Eve to eat from. They just simply weren't mature enough to eat of this tree. Shkida? That's it.
That they weren't, like, it wasn't the time, was not.
Quite it wasn't the time for them to eat of that tree. That's first. I haven't heard this before. What I hear from sources of church fathers and primarily Saint Athanasius, that, correct me if I'm wrong, Abuna, that what we were created to eat from was the tree of life, not so much the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Tree of life. We are actually created to eat of the tree of life and live forever. Now, that's why when we fell, God protected the tree, the path to the tree of life, so that we wouldn't eat of it in a corrupt nature and live forever in our corrupt nature. You see, that tree of life, that path that was protected, the path of the tree of life that was protected now became unprotected through the Eucharist. That's the tree of life that now came back again. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, my understanding from patristically speaking, is that it was only planted to exercise free will, or the test for free will. Nothing more than that. Because if Adam is going to be mature enough to eat of it, are you implying that he's going to eat of it and become knowledgeable like God? Is he going to know knowledge of evil? The only reason why it's called knowledge of evil is that if you eat of it, evil will be revealed to you. Because Adam was sinful. He only knew good. He ate of the tree, not just because the tree was bad, but he disobeyed, and that simple knowledge became complex knowledge. He now knows good and bad. But he's not created to eat of that tree, at least that's my understanding. He's created to eat of the tree of life. Okay, I think it's time to go, because Peter is going to... Time to go and we'll come back.
I see anything wrong, want to please tell me. Okay, let's go and we'll come back. What time?
2:30.
2:45. 2:45.